I'm Doug Booth.
That's going to confuse him.
No, I'm Matt Smith. I play Parson Collins.
I'm Douglas Booth, and I play Bingley.
I'm Jack Houston. I play George Wickham.
Excited. I love the twist on Wickham.
Oh, good.
It's cool, isn't
right?
it?
Oh. Yeah.
Are we allowed to speak freely?
Well,
yeah. Are we spoilers alert moment?
It's great. As you're comfortable with.
Yeah, yeah.
We won't write it. I don't want to spoil it for anyone.
Yes, exactly. Well, it was a fun twist. It was probably the biggest diversion from the book. Well, apart from
the zombies.
But character-wise, you know what I mean? He was it was interesting.
And he sort of carries the story into the next film, perhaps. You know?
Yes.
We're hoping.
Well, he wasn't meant to be that initially. He was meant to be beheaded at the end, and somehow I turned up at a table read and realised they just decided to lob off his arm, give him a spike, and he's back for the sequel. So I wasn't literally in a table read, got in, and I was like, well, this is about to get beheaded, and I wasn't beheaded.
Yeah,
I was looking around the room, and everyone just keeps on reading. I was like, how could you be dead? No one told me. But by the way, it was a nice surprise because we had such fun making the movie. And I'm not just saying like, oh, we're sitting around, we had such fun. We really did. Became really great friends, everybody, off camera, on camera. It was something that we would all probably welcome a chance to go back and do it again.
We had fun watching it.
Yeah,
really?
That's good. That's good.
Really?
Oh, that's great.
Oh,
that's
great. Great. Oh, we had a premiere.
Yeah.
Brilliant. I'm glad.
I want to know how the two of you kept a straight face when Matt was doing all of his.
We didn't. You notice there's a lot on Matt from behind my back. where I'm in tears.
You did keep a straight face. You were very generous. They were very generous.
We know.
If I had been in the film, I think I would have been thinking, oh, he's stealing all the scenes.
He does steal everything he's in there.
Matt's very selfish.
He's building my part.
Very selfish.
Essentially.
Builds up his part. He's
I had seven scenes. I thought, I'm going to get this at least
no,
nine.
You succeeded.
Yeah. So good.
Well, Collins is the doofus in the book anyway, but you just added another kind of funny layer to
dimension.
It.
Another layer of doofus.
Yeah.
But
what
you,
I'm going
you've
for
sort
life.
Of seen the Collins before. It was a completely new take on it, which is nice. You know what I mean? I sort of felt like I had an experience. And, you know, we've come from England where you've sort of seen every incarnation of Pride and Prejudice over and over again.
Yeah.
Brilliantly done. Not like taking anything from that, but it's kind of nice to sort of do and see something new and then sort of witness a character be reinvented in a certain way.
Yeah.
And it gave you a bit of freedom to do that because of the nature of the film it was.
Yeah.
You could do that a bit.
Well, Lily and Bella came in first before and they said, oh, we read the book. Every high school girl in England reads the book.
Yeah.
You have to, it's actually taught in class.
Yeah, we all read it.
It was on the curriculum.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Jane Austen's on the curriculum in England. It's
you actually, the classic Colin Firth BBC one was actually played
in school.
In school.
You will be English.
Exactly. It was literally, you go to class.
Everything about you is English.
What did each of you like specifically about this take on Pride and Prejudice?
Zombies.
Yeah. for me it just accentuated the original themes of the book, you know. And I've seen zombie films where someone gets chased from A to B, or they fight to get the right, you know, vaccinate things, or you know, you've seen that. But this isn't about that. It's like, how will that story that we know so well, that story that we love, survive and differ and change with this extraordinary circumstance, there being a zombie plague, you know, and that's what makes what's funny is that makes it quirky, you know. You kind of know how this turns out, but how's it gonna differ?
Yeah,
how are these characters gonna deal with it and cope with it? And, you know, how's the proposal scene gonna go down? Very differently. they can really externalize their troubles.
Yeah.
And their, you know,
sexual frustration,
which really, like, back in those days, they were just like bubbling up inside under their corsets, and then just go home and write in their diary.
It's like ultra feminism on crack.
Now they really externalise it. Just awesome.
It's the Spice Girls with swords. Yeah.
It is. It's great.
Yeah, but there was no sexual tension between Bingley and Jane, though, unfortunately. You guys just fell in love.
There was a lot between me and Bingley.
Yeah. Yeah. And don't get me started on Parson Collins.
Yeah.
And this
and this. Ooh.
Hello.
Exactly.
That's, you know, they're going to run off to Mexico and start some sort of cult together.
That's the sequel.
I know.
You might want to see a spoiler alert.
I'm coming over to the dark side.
That's exactly.
Yeah, Darth Collins.
No, Bingley and Jane, theirs is kind of the more pure, subtle, like, fragile love affair.
Controversially, Doug doesn't believe in love at first sight.
I don't. No, I mean, how can you fall in love with someone on a complete aesthetic? Love at
like
first
this.
Sight.
Whoa.
Do you know what I mean? Like, it, fair enough.
It happens
okay,
to that
see,
every
say
day.
Say you've given, they've given, like, a romantic talk or something. Like, you fall in love with them then.
Are you
like,
Romeo?
Oh, wow.
Do you believe in it?
What's do I? Absolutely.
Yeah, I believe in that.
Absolutely. What would life be without love at first sight?
Yeah, exactly.
I fall in love every second of every day. And constantly flat on my arse and disappointed. So, yeah. I'm falling in love 3 times already at this table.
And that's just with me and Doug.
I'm surprised with this good turn. I'm very interested.
I
you
feel
don't
like we're doing stand-up.
It is. It's a routine. We're taking on the road after this. It's going to be a lot
of fun.
It's
funny that you say that because you've played two now with Bingley and Romeo.
Yeah.
The two, you know, those to fall in love right away. Kind of
yeah, exactly.
It's the great Alan Partridge one where it's like the family's got 4 lovely kids, a wife, and he believes after death there is nothing. It's like
that is actually like, that's the only show.
Do you guys have Alan Partridge in here?
It's on the film last
year. Does that humour not make sense to you guys?
Oh no,
yeah, it does make sense to you guys.
Him.
Yeah,
he's amazing.
I find it strange. I'm like
a total genius.
Yeah,
total genius.
Matt, can you talk a little bit now that you've had a little bit of time away from the Doctor Who role? Does that still stay with you, or are roles like this sort of going to help you move along to other projects?
Yeah, I think it always kind of stays with you, that role somewhere, but I think it takes time, and yeah, parts like this are hopefully different, and I plan to keep, you know, challenging myself, playing different parts. I don't know, it's strange being an actor, isn't it? You sort of never know what's around the corner, and you just find things that are as varied, and in my instance, I quite like them to be weird, although every character's a bit like an alien to me. You know, Parson Collins is a bit like the alien of the piece. He's the outsider, you know.
Yes.
And he's completely misunderstood in his own time. I think if he'd live now, he'd be right.
Welcome.
He'd be raving.
Really
up,
would.
You know, like, not that place. The gay club. He's just sort of slightly misunderstood.
Is it sort of requisite for a British? Is it requisite for a British actor to do like a Jane Austen piece or sort of one of these? Very,
not
like,
all, but they just make a lot of them.
Yeah.
I mean, they
make it.
If you want to work,
yeah,
you're going to probably do one.
It's
some
like
point.
National service, isn't it?
It's basically
you will be in Shakespeare or Jane Austen. It's
but yeah, I think they do it well over in England, you know.
Over in England.
Okay.
Just
over there.
Across the pond, is it? If they don't do Jane Austen, they do it about the real Jane Austen. And then
yeah,
it's a sort of
yeah,
fictionalised thing about Jane Austen in modern times.
Wasn't there a movie about that?
I did a TV show called Miss Austen Regrets, which is about her life as well. Back in the day. I mean, you do just end up doing these people.
Bridget Jones's Diary is based on Pride and Prejudice,
yeah,
isn't it?
Yeah.
So.
And you guys all look good in the period costumes as well.
Thank you
very much.
Fantastic, fantastic costume designer.
Yeah, right.
Fine.
Julian
really
Day,
good,
very
really
talented.
Yeah, really, really good. Yeah.
Props to Julian. He made it sexy and period.
And poppy.
Period, yeah,
and
but brought that modern twist.
Yeah.
Like,
but
yeah,
it wasn't too much, was
no,
it?
No, like Sam's leather jacket and stuff like that.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty, right, yeah.
Yeah, he was badass. How was did you have to train a bit for the big sword fight?
We did, but I was training for something else, but me and Sam were sort of rather out of shape. It was not nearly as cool when the camera, they said cut. It was just like, sounds like,
so heavy.
Please, no more.
The old boy.
No more. And it was also like 4:30 in the morning. But Bo was like, okay, let's do the big fight scene at 3 a.m. You're like, God, thanks, buddy. Yeah. but yeah, no, we got through it. It's always fun when you're doing it with someone else who's equally as out of shape.
Yeah. You know, it's been bad if you
yeah, exactly. When I say, no, we were rather good at it. We got rather good. I'm
great fight. Yeah,
we got pretty good at it. And it was just, we did it too many times.
And again, there's something sort of just sexy. Maybe it's just because, I don't know, I just think Jack and Sam going, that's quite a sexy sort of thing, isn't it? It's like a sexy standoff. Which is what this film's based on, is it's like sexy standoffs all the time.
Who is it? Who is that we're alarmed at? It's the perfect Bond ending. It's like, just before I kill you, I'm going to tell you everything you did wrong.
Yeah.
And give you just enough time to, you know, literally, I'm going to tell you everything you possibly did in our entire life. And give you just enough time for somebody to possibly save you.
Yeah.
It always makes me laugh because it was a perfect, because I've been wanting to do that for so long. I'm going to kill you, but before I do, I'm going to tell you everything you ever did. And I love it. It did make me laugh because it was so perfect. It was exactly what you want at the end of the movie. It's like playing to all of it, which is so much fun. You know, that sort of campy, cool thing.
Have any of you read the novel of Pride and Prejudice and Zombies before this even came about for you?
Not Pride and Prejudice and Zombies, no. I'd heard of it. Because it was a New York Times bestseller, and so a lot of my friends are fans, American friends are fans of the book. It's not as big over in the UK, the book. I mean, it's still popular, but I think here it was really quite popular. Huge. Yeah,
was it? Yeah, massive. That's a massive.
You read his other stuff too. It's really
yeah. We read it for the film. Yeah, yeah, we read it for the
God,
film.
God, he must be rich.
I mean, yeah. Sam just lapping it up, isn't he?
Yeah, I mean, literally.
He didn't sound that way.
Give me some of
that.
He's a history buff, so he, like, incorporates all this.
Yeah, unbelievable.
But I don't care what he is, he's rich.
He is. he's about to direct The Flash.
No, he's not.
He's directing The Flash, yeah. The new one, there's Ramella, yeah.
TV show. Well, he didn't say that,
though. Chef, there's Something Wicked This Way is coming up, the Ray Bradbury novel, but... Who knows what
this is?
Before.
Seth.
Yeah.
Seth Graham.
He's not directing it, I don't think.
I swear to God, he's directing it. Yeah.
Can we look on my magic?
There's a movie of it. Is there?
I got told. I was as surprised as everyone else here. By the way, I love that.
The TV show. The movie.
Oh, wow.
Maybe writing it.
It's directing.
Flash Gordon.
As in, I mean, by the way, this isn't it. No, the Flash and the really fast guy.
Why can't they remake Flash Gordon?
Are they all remaking Flash Gordon? Yes.
You're right.
That's what I want to see. Boom. Flash.
Hey. Oh. Some people call me an encyclopedia of movie knowledge. If you want to know what anyone's doing at any time.
You do have a good movie knowledge.
But you know what? I will. Anyone. I know what people are doing before they're doing it.
You're a film buff.
I'm a film buff. It's true. But Seth doesn't know he's directing the movie. I just know.
Jack, can you talk a little bit about the reaction to your Boardwalk Empire role?
Oh,
you were fantastic.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you. It was
an Emmy a couple of times.
Oh, yeah. That's very sweet.
That's just me.
Thank you. It was a lovely reaction because no one knows it's me, which is kind of one of the nicest things. So you can sort of spend time with people and go up for parts and it was, I was with
my best friend last night. Met Jack. We were hanging out at Comic Con and then we sort of came out and then he was like, dude, that's the guy from Boardwalk Empire. I was like, shit, I got to talk to him. Like, he loved it. And then last night,
because we spent two nights together, I had no idea, but that was kind of a nice thing, you know?
Well, it's sort of weirdly the greatest compliment, isn't it?
Yeah,
if you can blend into the 100%. Sort of background of things.
Well, you had half of your face covered.
It was lucky that I did have a little bit of help. But
did
it's true.
Did you do something
with your... I did, yeah. But it was tough. I put gauze in there and stuff like that.
Really?
Wow. Yeah. Just to sort of like deform the mouth a bit, yeah. But it was fun. It's they're interested in doing it. As Matt knows, you know, you go do a show for a long time and you fall madly in love with the character,
right.
Because it's such fun to play, and you know, you're constantly looking for things after it, which are like you said, challenging in that way. But you know, it's difficult because you know what people get wrong is when you do play something for a long period of time, you really get to discover a hell of a lot more because you're giving the time and this breathing period,
especially when the writing's that good.
When the writing, exactly. So you know, it's
like
been good
as well.
Yeah.
It's
exactly,
like you're
exactly.
involved in that world
exactly.
for so long.
Yeah, and you fall in love with it, you know, on one side and the other side. When it's over, you're sort of happy it's over, and then it's suddenly you miss it though.
The grass is always greener, isn't
always
it?
Green. Yeah.
When you're doing a play, you want to do a film. When you're doing a film, you want to do a play. When you're doing television, you want to do a play. When it's all like
that's what everything in life,
you know. Yeah.
So speaking of that, what are you guys doing next?
I don't know. Gonna hang out on the beach somewhere.
No, no. By the way, we are pushing for the old sequel.
Yeah.
We did say it's good.
Yeah.
Matt's playing, still filming right now. He's filming Prince Philip. He's playing Prince Philip in the big Netflix show, The Crown. I'm talk for him.
Yeah.
And then
publicist and friend.
Okay,
therefore. Yeah.
What's it in the States? Is it in
I'm
Netflix?
Playing
in the States.
Netflix.
Amazing.
Netflix everywhere.
Oh, it's Netflix everywhere.
Next time, Brad starts shooting a film playing Percy Shelley opposite Elle Fanning, playing Mary Shelley in their tumultuous love affair, which resulted in writing Frankenstein.
Another story of love at first sight, Douglas.
Actually,
I mean,
actually,
he just
doesn't believe it. That's so different. Not love at first sight. He was absolutely, he was obsessed and like completely fascinated with her pedigree. Like she was Mary Wollstonecraft Godwin, who were two of his like big heroes, and he was devoted.
Oh, of course, he was the father. Yes, of course,
and
the father's writing.
So
it was that.
It's
was
almost
it.
Like when he meets, it's like a massive rock and roll fan, like meeting Mick Jagger and Patti Smith's like daughter. Do you know what I mean? And just being like,
but what was it?
Wasn't
there something about the parents that they weren't the mother went mad as well and like thing, and then she wasn't allowed to read any of the literature or something. There was something about that, wasn't it? The mother,
she never knew her mother died, but her mother
was a very sort of progressive like writer.
I think she knew, but it was weird because he Godwin remarried this other woman who wasn't very nice. But yeah, there's loads of stuff like that.
They
had a really weird close relationship.
Yeah,
it was quite controlling, Godwin.
Well, thanks. Can I get a picture?
Yeah,
thank you guys.